Hi, I'm Curious Vedant, and welcome to Season 6 of my podcast. Today, my guest is Akram Ul Haq, who is a professional guitarist. He has played at many music festivals across the world, including the prestigious Fingerstyle Festival of Poland, and at around 500 concerts. Akram also teaches guitar to aspiring guitarists. Hi, Akram. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Vedant. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for that lovely introduction. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's my pleasure to have you on the show. I really, really like music. In fact, I play the drums myself.
That's awesome. How long have you been playing for?
About a year.
Nice. And what sort of music do you play?
Now I'm currently doing the Trinity rock and pop.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So amazing. All the best with that.
Thanks. And
I hope to get to see you perform someday.
I just recently got my grade 1 exam certificate.
That's awesome. Congratulations. How does that feel?
It feels good. It's my first drum certificate.
Nice. How was the exam?
It wasn't that bad, actually. I didn't actually go to the center. It was a recording exam.
Right.
So I just needed to play 3 songs and I passed with merit.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, first exam is always special. From here on, it'll be piece of cake.
So, Akram, I'm curious to know, how did your journey of playing the guitar start? When did you realize that it was the instrument of your choice?
Well, I started quite late, actually. I started when I was 18. I got a guitar. I was always attracted to the sound of the guitar. And when I eventually got one for myself, I just started playing randomly without taking any lessons. The music was sounding good, but it was more me in front of a mirror just trying to be a rock star, because I still listened to a lot of rock music then, but not making any sense with music. Eventually, I got to go to a local institute in my neighborhood, and I started learning the basics and stuff. And soon I realized, I think it was, I started enjoying it more and I was spending a lot of time with it. And it developed into a habit. And every day after coming back from college, I would just want to sit with the guitar and play for hours. And back in the day, I didn't have internet. So I would also go to the internet cafes. That's what they were called. Do you know about internet cafes?
No.
Now, basically, it's a shop where there are a lot of systems, computer systems, and you go and rent out the computer for an hour or two. Depends on how much you want to spend your time there. So I used to go there, search for guitar notes for all these famous songs. I was really into this band called Metallica. So I would go there and search for the notes and take printouts, come back, put on a CD, try and learn with the CD and look at the notes. And sort of developed the skills like that. And at some point, this is after my college, I had gone to do a master's in Australia. The very first class I sat there, by the way, this was a completely different course than music. This, I wanted to do music, but I wasn't that confident because I was still considering as a hobby. But the very first class I sat, I realized I don't want to do this. I want to play the guitar. And that's when actually I chose, like, okay, guitar is going to be my instrument and I'm going to try and make it as a professional musician.
And you've succeeded.
Well, yeah. And lots more to do, but yeah, I'm here.
When I played drums, it was actually similar to how you started playing guitar. I really, really liked the sound of guitar. Actually, when I was in India, I was learning the piano a bit, but every time I went there, if I reached there a bit early, I would just go to the drum room and listen to the people who were playing play. And I just loved it. And back then, the people in my drum class in the music school in India said that I was too young to play guitar. So when I moved here,
oh really? Okay.
I found a music school. I was 9, and yeah, since then I've been playing the drums. I actually got my electric drums before I started lessons, and I would just again randomly hit around or use my iPad to find something. But then I enrolled into lessons, and yeah,
that's amazing. Look at you now, giving exams and performing. Did you do any performances of it?
Yeah, I've done one at Esplanade here, but it wasn't like in public. It was like a end of year recital, and then one mid-year recital at a studio here. Again, it was pretty small. But then actually a few weeks ago, towards the second week of September, I gave an audition for this drum competition called the Asian Supreme Drum Contest.
Wow.
But I didn't qualify.
That's okay.
Yeah. So
that's okay.
I'll try again next year.
Yeah, you should. And you should keep trying. But
yeah, the finals were supposed to be on October 8th, so in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. All the best. I mean, you give it your best.
Yeah. So can you share more about your training journey? At what point did you decide you wanted to make it your career?
Yeah. As I was telling you earlier, how this epiphany happened in Australia, my very first class in IT networking. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to do music. And I wanted to really go deeper in music from then. And I came back to India and I started learning Western classical music and Western classical guitar. So I was learning pieces by Bach and various other classical composers, studying theory. And I was also playing for a metal band back then. So that combined with this, it was more academic musically in terms of practicing music and studying every day. So I joined this institute in Hyderabad, and the teacher was kind. It was supposed to be weekly 2 classes, and the teacher saw me putting in a lot of effort, and he was like, why don't you come every day? And after a while, he was like, why don't you come and stay the whole day and practice here and learn? And I was like, yeah, this is what I want. And I started like going to the institute around 9 a.m. and I would stay there till 8 p.m. and just practice, learn. Of course, there are breaks in between, but most of my day goes into that. Used to go in that. And yeah, I did that for 4 years. Studied in depth, and also because I started quite late and I wanted to catch up on all the years I lost as a kid, at least, because usually if you start out as a kid, you have a good foundation by the time you're 18, 20. And I started at 18. So I didn't want that to be an excuse of any sort. So I just really went deep in practice. I would practice, I would go at 9 a.m., start practicing, warming up, and practice for 2 hours, then take 15 minutes break, then practice for another 1.5 hour, then have my lunch, practice for another half an hour, then get back into have a tea break and have a go at it for another 2 hours. And through the whole day, it would go just like that. And Yeah, I learned a lot because I was learning Western classical. And I learned music from 16th century, 18th century, 19th century. So it was a lot of variation, and I was consuming a lot of knowledge because of that. And I was also playing for a metal band, so I had that influence coming in. So weekends I would be playing metal, and weekdays I would be practicing Western classical guitar. And I listened to a lot of other sorts of music as well, blues, jazz. So all this, I was consuming all of it. So I was totally immersed with all this knowledge. And yeah, I think that helped me shape the way I play now. So that was my training process. And I still continue to do that, but not like 10 hours a day, but because I teach and I perform and do so many other things, but every day there's a practice routine for a few hours.
That's really cool. But didn't you ever get bored doing it for like 10 hours a day?
Yeah, you do. Music, as exciting as it sounds, you also have to go through boredom. And that's where you really pick it up. You will have a boring phase. For example, let's say you're learning a new piece and initially it's exciting and you're like, oh, sounds amazing, and I'm playing this, and you get stuck somewhere and you try again and again and again. 1 month later, you're still there and you start getting bored. But the idea is to stick with it, because not every day is exciting. You have to see through boredom as well. And eventually it clicks. And that's exciting. So it is like a journey where you have exciting moments, and also you have to go through boring phase and difficult phase. So this is just practicing music, and that's how it still is and always will be. Arts also has a boredom attached to it. Not many people talk about it. Good question. So yeah.
Once I was learning to play this piece on the drums, I think a few months ago, and there was this one really hard part, which was like for like 8 bars straight. For each note, you have to keep doing open, close on the hi-hat.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to do. But then eventually I got it, and I actually enjoyed playing that piece.
Exactly. Yeah, that's nice. See, you go through those phases while practicing any form of arts, actually. At least with music, I can speak for it. There. And how do you feel after that, when same sort of pattern comes in a different song? Isn't it easy for you now that you've got that technique?
It is easier. In fact, I was playing this other song and something like that came up, and I was like, oh, this sounds familiar, and I got it like first, second try.
Yeah, that's what it does. So yeah, boredom is the key.
Eventually it is really fun though, like you said.
Yeah, that's where you're trying to get it.
Do you recall your first public performance? When was it, and how was your experience?
First public performance. So I have, let's say, 3 first public performances. I know it sounds weird when I say that, because the first one was with a band. That's a different experience. The second one was when I was practicing the Western classical music. That's when the first performance, when I got the first performance. And third is when I started writing my own music, and I got my first performance through that. So I will speak about all 3 of them, because they're different experiences. The first one, it was in a bar here in Hyderabad, And this was with my band. And the band was already a few months old and they had performed before. And I was the new entry. And this was my first gig with them and my first performance as such in my life, like a proper professional performance. It was nerve-wracking because as a musician, you also have to not just play your instrument, but also worry about the sound on stage. And there are a lot of technicalities. So I went through that for the first time, setting up your guitar on stage and understanding how the stage sound works. And you should be able to hear other instruments as well. So all that was overwhelming on the first day. And I remember telling my vocalist before our set started, like, dude, I'm nervous. And he was like, he gave me a tip. He's like, okay, look at your feet. I'm like, okay, I looked at my feet. And I was like, I turned to him and I was like, dude, my feet are shivering. So all in all, it was just nerve-wracking. But as soon as the music started, you just get into the flow. And that's what happened with that. With my first Western classical performance, it was a different experience because I'm playing solo now. It was me on stage and there was no band this time to back me up. And this were complex pieces to perform. And this was in Hari Hari Kala Bhavan, also in Hyderabad. And as opposed to my first gig with the band, where you're all dressed casually and just having fun, eventually when the music starts, here I'm in a suit. There's an etiquette to follow. And you go and you bow down and then you sit and then introduce yourself and start playing. So the practice for that was quite intense, practice leading up to the concert. I got 2 months notice, like, oh, there's a concert in 2 months' time, you're going to perform. So I started practicing 2 months ahead for the concert. And I used to, because these were all very technically profound pieces, I had this list like, okay, I'm going to practice everything 500 times. I'm going to practice this 500 times. So I used to tick off every day when I'm sitting and practicing at least 20 times, 30 times, whatever. My target was to reach 500. I'm not sure if I reached that, but at least I must have played 300 times. Maybe I'm sure for that. And getting on stage now, it's like, okay, even if I make a tiny mistake, it will show. There's no accompaniment to cover for me, and I have to go through that. So that was nerve-wracking in that aspect. And I pulled it off. I did it. I think, yeah. And the third one is when I started writing my own music. And that came years later. That was because I practiced and I had this whole material now of my own songs. I was excited to go and perform. When I entered, it was an event where a lot of other musicians also were playing. That is, you had a rock band, you had a jazz band, you had a pop act. And I was there with a solo instrument and just playing instrumental music. I was sort of skeptical about whether people are going to like it or not. So that was the only apprehension for that first. But as soon as I got on stage, everyone loved it. And since then, it's been just exciting just to get on stage.
Yeah. The first time I did the performance, which was the end of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It was also like, it wasn't a suit event, but you needed to wear polo jeans with formal shoes and all that. And when I got up on stage, there was just like, this whole big crowd in front of me. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. And then I played and got into the flow. Yeah.
Also,
similar thing with the audition for the competition. It was like, I got up on stage, there wasn't just like people in front of me. It was in the atrium of a mall.
Oh.
And there were people on the top floors, balconies, just looking down at me.
Right.
It was like, oh, so scary. But then I started playing and 2 minutes later it's done and I'm off the stage.
And how did you feel when you got out of the stage?
It was an experience.
Okay.
And it was scary but enjoyable.
I get it. Yeah. And does it make you feel like, oh, I want to go back there? Because you are nervous initially, but you enjoy it on stage and you get off the stage, you're like, oh, it's done. Then how does it make you feel after that? Like, do you want to like, oh, I want to do this again? Or like, oh, it's done forever. I'm not going to play for a while. How do you feel?
It's a mix of both. I'm like, wow, that was pretty exciting. I want to do it again. But at the same time, like, okay, I'm never doing that again.
Fair enough. But I think more, if you do that more, at some point, you will be able to just play any number of times. I think.
And how does it feel to write and play your own music? Because you're not following something someone else is written. It's your own thoughts, your own personality reflecting into the music. Does it feel good that you can play something that you have come up with that you actually really like and that you have come up with? Or does it give you a similar feeling to if you have to play a pre-written song?
Good question. It's quite liberating, actually, to play your own music. First thing is you're expressing your thoughts and feelings. And that's where your mindset is, as opposed to playing someone else's music. Which is great. It also gives you a lot of perspective, knowledge, and you also feel through their music. But you always have this at the back of your head. Okay, am I interpreting it right? How is it sounding in terms of, I played this particular phrase. Did I do justice to it? All that jazz. When you're playing your own music, all that goes away and you just focused on expressing, because you want to phrase it in a certain way, and that liberates you and you're free.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Playing a cover or learning someone else's song does help you understand a lot of technicalities, lot of nuances which you can internalize and make it your own later when you're creating. And that journey also is important, and influences are important, because you have to be influenced deeply to find yourself, find your sound later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to get the inspiration.
Yeah.
During your early years when you just started, were there situations where you didn't win competitions or didn't get selected for performances? How did you deal with those rejections?
I did go through those. I'll give you one anecdote of me competing in this Western classical guitar competition in Kolkata. It was an international competition because a lot of guitarists from around the world were there. And this is me after, I was talking about my first concert at Hari Hari Kalabhavan. It's 2 years later, or 1 year later, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's been a while after that, and I'm really thorough with the pieces. And go into this competition thinking, okay, I have practiced this long enough to just play comfortably. And I get on stage, I'm performing this piece by Bach, Cello Suite, Bach's Cello Suite. And midway, I freeze. And I forget. And I'm like, okay. And I start it again. And I forget it again. And I'm like, okay. Then I restart and get to that point. And I sense and I feel that I'm going to forget that phrase again. And I just improvised and got through it. And in my head, I was like, okay, that's a big mess. I made a mess of myself on stage. I embarrassed myself on stage. And I'm surely not going to win this. And on top of that, I forgot a piece which I know so well. So it's basically nerves kicking in. But what happened with that was, after I was done with my set, people clapped and no one really said anything. Even for me, I didn't feel, oh, the world ended, because that's the feeling, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna mess up, I'm gonna make a mistake. Here I forgot the whole, like one whole section of the piece. And that also liberated me. So that's how I take not winning something or that particular event. What it made me realize is, it's not the end of the world. You're just making all this up in your head. And the following concerts, I was much more liberated and I played at ease, because I've experienced a mess up on stage. Now I can only go up from here, and it just made me feel more free, and I performed other concerts freely. So I think getting rejected or not performing well, any sort of failure, it opens up more avenues, because your brain starts thinking about, okay, that happened, but that's not the end of the world. Let's try more things. It just gives you more confidence to, okay, let me try and do better in other aspects. And I know how it already, how it felt when you didn't do well. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And same thing with not getting selected anywhere. It's the same thing. If you don't get selected at one place, you keep practicing and you keep doing your thing, and more avenues are going to open up. So, yeah. And better avenues also, you know.
Yeah. It's fine. Like for the competition, I can always try again next year. I mean, there were 100% some people who did better than me. Like, there was this one kid who, like, played Gangnam Style on the drums, which is really complicated, without looking at me.
Wow.
And like, I knew that there was a low chance of me qualifying, and then try again next year. And one really big mess up which I did, it wasn't in the competition, it was like, again in December last year, 2022, it was like, I went on stage, started playing, and then I realized the snare drum was off. It had this really echoey sound. I tried to, I was playing We Will Rock You, which basically uses that, only that drum, and I was trying to find the right moment to turn it on, but I couldn't, and it was off for the rest of the song. It felt so wrong.
Yeah.
At the end, I was like, "Oh, such a mess up."
And how did you bounce back from that?
There was this other song. I was performing two songs. On the second song, I fixed the drum, and it went smoothly.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. See, I think you always learn from your mistakes, and I think it's how you take those events and how you take it positively and correct it the next time, and make sure that those small technical errors don't happen, but they keep happening as you practice more and as you keep doing more of these competitions or more performances. You learn through all of this and you troubleshoot your way and you know what to do at some point. Yeah. And it's all about how you take it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've performed at hundreds of events, not only the festivals, but also a bunch of concerts. How do you prepare your mind, your body, and your skills for such an event?
Preparing aspect is you're preparing every day because you have to look at it that way. You practice your instrument. You practice once you write your songs, irrespective of whatever it is, whether you're playing someone else's music, your music, you're practicing that daily. And that itself is preparation. You don't practice right before a concert. When you don't have concerts for, let's say, even like 6 months, you keep practicing. You write new stuff, but you're also practicing the old material and what you want to perform or you see yourself performing. So that's important, one. Second is on the day of concert, it depends. If I have a free day and let's say the concert is in the evening and I have the whole day for myself, I would do, I'll wake up and do something relaxing, make myself a cup of tea, which I like, and just relax and ease your brain and do a small warm-up and then relax, just go out for a walk, watch something, and then come back, maybe just take care of your other logistics for the day. Okay, your setup, and you think about your sound and just keep yourself calm, whatever that is for you. Like few people, like if I have to give an analogy, this footballer called Pirlo from Italy, before his World Cup final, he was playing PlayStation and he went and won it. But that is for him. Like whatever is easing you off the pressure that day. So you got to find yourself what you like to do just to be calm. For me, it is just, relaxing, going for a walk, watching something light, probably a comedy series or something, just because I've already practiced all this. And it's not going to help me just to practice all day on a concert day. So that. Third is sometimes you don't have a free day. You are running through general life. Probably you have a lot of other things to do and you have to play a concert. The first point comes in handy there because you've been practicing all the time. You just go about your day, go to the show, play and come back. So,
yeah.
So I think the first point works for everything. Just keep practicing every day.
Yeah. At one point I was for the audition, my drum teacher, every lesson I was playing that same song over and over again. And then I won lesson, I was like, okay, let's take a break, and we played another song, and after that, and that was the lesson before the audition, and it was like we played another song, and it was I think like a week. No, it was 2 days later. I had like a extra lesson on Friday, and the audition was on a Sunday, so I literally had 2 days. And then Saturday was practicing. Saturday in the morning I practiced, and in the afternoon I listened to music. I played some FIFA on my phone and went there and played drums.
Amazing, nice. And how is your practice routine?
I don't practice as much as you do. But I do practice like every day a few times, and I have drum lessons every Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes
cool. I have, and
sometimes, like, if I'm going to miss a lesson in the future because of a holiday, I have a catch-up lesson before that or after that. But otherwise, it's every Monday.
Nice. And how long? You don't have to practice long hours per se, but how long do you like to practice when you're sitting on the drums?
So my drum class itself is 45 mm-hmm. minutes, but when I come home, it really depends. Like for my audition I kept on practicing until I got it right 5 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But other days I'm just chill about it. I practice like 2 or 3 times. And yeah, if I
make nice. Okay.
I focus on that part and do it. And yeah.
That's awesome. That's good.
Some days I don't get to practice, like Tuesdays when I have football, but otherwise it's all practice.
That's fair enough. Football is also important.
Yeah.
I love football, so.
What kind of concerts do you play? Like, do you play candlelight concerts? Do you play big open ground concerts or in a stadium? And are you like a part of a band?
Right now, I'm not part of a band. I have been playing solo for, I think, 8 years now. I started playing in 2015. That is when I started writing my own songs, own pieces. And the way I write is it's like a one-man band. So in that terms, I am in a band, but I'm a one-man band. I do play all sorts of shows. I haven't filled up a stadium yet. I hope to do so someday. But I do play very intimate concerts, like where I get to share my stories and interact with the audience. And the audience can ask me questions and explain them about the piece which I'm performing, those sort of ones. And I do play at other venues where the crowd is going wild and they're shouting when I'm performing. Whenever they like something which I'm playing, they just shout. And even I go like, I get carried away in that environment. And even I'm acting in that aspect or that way, like showmanship. So it depends where I'm playing. But yeah, intimate concerts to concerts at bars, open air, all sorts of concerts. Yes,
that sounds really fun. Hopefully someday you fill up a stadium.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Do you plan to come to Singapore and play sometime?
I want to. I will look into it in 2024. I want to also tour that side of the world. And let's see. Hope it happens. I hope you get to see me live someday.
Yeah, and I would like to see you live.
Me too. I want to jam with you one day.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Can you share some tips for aspiring musicians like me?
I think being open in terms of listening to different sorts of music, that's for sure. I highly recommend doing that, because we tend to fit into one parameter, or let's say one genre of music, and we obsess about it and we learn in that direction. And what happens with that is, yeah, definitely it's a lot of influence and you're getting good, but one tends to ignore other aspects of music. And every form of music is important and it has something to say. So my advice is listen to absolutely any sort of music and be curious about different types of music and try and find a lot of unknown music which is not popular. That's where you'll find a lot of knowledge. And of course, keep practicing, even if you get bored. Because if you cross that boredom, things start to happen, and that's exciting. Yeah.
Dear listeners, if you are playing any instrument, please follow this advice. I'm pretty sure it'll help you, and even I'll follow that advice. I'm pretty sure it'll make me a better drummer.
Oh, awesome.
What are your hobbies?
As I was talking about it earlier, I love playing football. That, and I love to read. I read a lot. Off late, a little less, but I intend to get back to it. But that, football, reading, and what else? I like to watch a lot of movies. That's something I naturally incline towards. And I'm really curious about the whole art of filmmaking. So whenever I get a chance, I'm just learning about those things or watching a lot of interviews based on filmmaking and how those things happen. So I think, I don't know if that constitutes as hobby, but I like doing that.
Those are really fun hobbies. I like all of them too.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice. What books have you read recently?
So I'm reading this anatomy book currently, and I've almost finished reading the Harry Potter series.
Nice.
I like Tintin. I like fiction books, and I also like non-fiction books, quite a few.
Oh, now tell me more about non-fiction books. Which ones?
Well, no, I don't have any particular ones, but I like to, if I can find a book about cars or something like that, then I like
uh-huh.
I read, because I really, really, really love cars.
Nice. Okay.
And airplanes.
Amazing. Cool. I don't have any books to suggest on cars or airplanes, but I can suggest you one of my favorite graphic novels, that is Sandman by Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
I think you'll really like it. Yeah.
All right.
Because if you're talking about Harry Potter and that sort of realm, and this is Sandman is about dreams, and it's about the Lord of Dreams. So it's quite interesting.
Sure, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you. Thank you. It was amazing. Thank you for having me here, and all the best to you. And yeah, I hope to see you sometime in the future, and I hope to see you perform. Please do send me those recordings.
I'm
very curious to listen. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Vedant.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Dear listeners, follow my Facebook page, Curious Vedant, to get updates on my upcoming episodes, to listen at leisure on your phone and get notified about future episodes. Subscribe by searching for Curious Vedant wherever you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can also listen to my show on CuriousVedant.com. Thank you for listening to Curious Vedant, and don't forget to rate and leave comments.